You left off the previous year. Just right, put the final pieces on the sugya of Mochek Amanas Lichtov. We got into Mochek Amanas Lichtov really through Maseches Gittin, where the Gemara was discussing about different kinds of inks that are acceptable for writing again, not acceptable for writing again, what kind of inks are Chayav and Shabbos, not Chayav and Shabbos. And basically what the Gemara told us was, is that if a person has black ink and they subsequently put red ink on top of the black ink, so you can't be chayav for kosher for that, because you really went down in quality of ink. You went from the high quality blacks, ter ink, to something which is red, which is lower inferior quality, but could be the chayav b'shem mochek. If you view what the person did as being somewhat constructive, something productive, so then you could be chayav b'shem mochek. So the question that was raised was, well, it's not mochek abnaz lichtov. You're not planning on rewriting. So Tosfos gave a whole shtickle Torah. Why? No, you really are going to rewrite it. You're writing the black, and then you write the red, and then on top of the red, you put more black. Oh, Chaydad, it's explained why it's really, truly Mochel Abnas Lichtov. And we thought that according to Rashi, that wasn't necessary. Even Rashi doesn't say a word about rewriting. The simple pshat in Rashi is that if it's productive, if it's good, if it's positive, if you did something that's beneficial, that is Mochek. It's not, quote unquote, Abnas Lichtov. Who cares? It doesn't have to be Amanas Lichtov. The Mishnah says Amanas Lichtov. Amanas Lichtov is just a way of measuring, is it positive or is it negative? So 9 out of 10 times, Mochek is going to be negative unless it's Amanas Lichtov. If you could figure out a way to do a Mechika in a positive manner, even though it's not literally Amanas Lichtov, you could be chai for that as well. So that was a major Machlokes of Rishonim. So then we really branched out and said that Machlokes of Rishonim that started out in terms of Mochek really is true about other Melachos as well. It really impacts other malachas as well. There are other malachas that also, the Chazal used the phrase amanas, we call the phrase the amanas malachas, and it's also not clear, is amanas an absolute requirement, literally only chayav if you plan on doing the following malachas? I say, no, amanas is just a way of gauging whether it's positive or negative. So we, at the very end of the Shia, we quoted the Gemara, the seventh in Rambam Kamos, take back a moment, look at that for a moment, or the seventh in Rambam Kamos. In Makas, Tav Gimel, Vyam Rav Yudah, Merava, Pesach, Mezitzah, B'Shabbos, Chayav Chatzos. If a person has an apokantos and he pokes a hole in the middle and wants to be able to put his head inside, that's called a Pesach, Mezitzah. He opened up the neck opening. He's Chayav on Shabbos. What is he Chayav for? So Rashi on the spot says, Chayav Shetikin Kli. He's Chayav for Makam B'Patish. So we were wondering at the end of the show on Wednesday, why did Rashi have to go run to Makam B'Patish? Why don't you just simply say it's Korea? He ripped it. Took a scissors, cut through fabric, cut through a garment. That looks like Malachas Kareah to me. What's wrong with Malachas Kareah? Not only are we asking on our own what's wrong with Malachas Kareah, if you take a look at the Rambam in the 8th of the Rambam Kamos, it's pretty clear that the Rambam's opinion was that in fact the person would be Chayav Mishum Kareah. That is in fact what the Gemara says. The Gemara never spells out which malach it is. The Gemara just says a poseach by sitzav b'shabbos chayim. We know that if you open up the hole of for the neck to go in, we know that's an issur d'oraisa. Chayim always means an issur d'oraisa, but the Gemara does not identify which malach it is. Rashi stuck in Makma Patish, but if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam, the 8th of the Rambam Kamos, starts talking about Kareah. HaKareah k'dei litfor shtei tfiros, but also litfor shtei tfiros. Gives you a whole story about Kareah. And then he starts talking about Kareah lahafsin. And he gives you this bit about Kareah, that bit about Kareah, every detail about Kareah. And at the very end of that halacha, the last line, last few words of the Ramah, if a person opens up the hole of the neck, he's chayav on Shabbos. It seems pretty clear that although the Ramah doesn't say chayav shum Kareah, that's obviously what he means. He's talking about Malachas Kareah. Some want to argue not. It's a very, very difficult reading of the Rambam. The Pashup Shan, the Rambam is, and the Rambam stuck in Posepus and Tzavar into this Malach of Akareh. Of course, that's the Malach that he's saying Yechayah for. So now we really have a pell on Rashi. What does it Rashi say Korea? We thought on our own we should have said Korea. The Rambam is telling us we're right in what we thought. So, Taka, why does Rashi leave out Malach's Korea? So we take a look at the Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam, the 8th of Rambam Kamas. Kosev aridvav for kamad makus pirush Rashi pesach mitzaber mamish osa pesach chadash la chaluk b'shabbos chayv chatz. Let's take a quick pirush.
The Nehin the Lo Mechayev Bishim Kareya says the Ritva, quoted by the case of Mishnah, you want to know why you're not Chayev Bishim Kareya, the Kareya Shalom and Aslitfaru. Because after all, you're not going to resew it. It would be pretty silly to resew it. You want your neck to be able to be inside it. So that would be foolish to resew it. So says the Ritva, that since you're not planning on resewing this hole, it's not possible to be Chayev Bishim Kareya. Nevertheless, b'chayav mishum tikun kli. Having gemar malach v'tal demak v'patish. Don't think you're going to get off scot free. You're still chayav, says the Ritva b'das Rashi, mishum mak v'patish. So the Ritva answered the question: why are you not chayav mishum kareya? The answer is because it's not amanas litfor. Now let's wait a second. This person who opens up the hole of the net, is he doing something destructive or constructive? Is that positive or is that negative? Of course it's positive. He's got a sheet of fabric here. He can't do anything with it. He wants the pair of scissors. So he takes the scissors and he does exactly what any other normal person would do. He makes a hole and shut. So he did something very, very constructive, very positive. And we're still saying this, Potter. He's still not Chayav Mishum Kareya. Yeah, he's going to be Chayav Mishum Akma Patish. That's true. But we're still not going to say Chayav Mishum Kareya because says the Ritva, it's not Al Menas Litfor. So the Ritva, because the Mishnah are taking a stand within Shitas Rashi, that the reason why you're not Chai Mishum Kareya is Dafka because it's just not Almanas Litfor Pshuta Kimashmal. Whereas the Rambam, who says that in fact you are Chai Mishum Kareya, according to the Rambam, it's clear that the reason why you're Chai Mishum Kareya, the Rambam also knew it's not Almanas Litfor. The answer is the Rambam knew it, the Rambam could have cared less about it. Rambam says, so what? It's not Amanas Litfor. Just the fact that you're doing something that's positive and constructive is enough to be Chayav. So basically, we have identified this Shaila that we have, these Amanas Malachim. Again, we started out with Malachas Malachim. We talked about Sosa, we talked about Matthew, we spoke about a whole array of Amanas Malachim. And now we have discovered, right staring us in the face, this Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam about Kareya. Is Kareya Chayav only if it's literally Amanas Litfor? That's what Rashi says. And therefore, Rashi veered away from Kareya and attributed the Issa to Makom HaPatish. The Rambam says, no, Mapito, it's Chayav Mishum Kareya. I, it's not Amanas Litfor. Who cares?
How does Rashi address the other case in the Rambam where it's Kareya Al Chamasa?
Oh, we're getting a second. So this is a simple pshat, the way everyone always presents. The Machlekes Rav Gimel, Rashi and the Rambam, Machlekes Rishonim, Amanas Litfor, not Amanas Litfor. That seems to be the straightforward learning of the sugya. Comes the Bir Halacha, and the truth is, even though it was ready before the Bir Halacha, where Rabbi Kivega already realized this, comes the Bir Halacha, and he throws his hands up, and he says, it can't be. It's not possible. It's impossible for anybody to truly claim that you need Amanas Litfor Mamish. I'll tell you why, says the Bir Halacha. Basically, the Raya that seems bringing it, elaborate upon the Raya a little bit. There's a whole discussion in Masechet Shabbos about a person who rips on Shabbos in two scenarios. One is Kareya B'Chamoso. He's tearing because he's angry. And number two is Kareya Al-Meso. He's tearing because somebody, relative, died and he has to tear Kareya. And we know there's a mitzvah for a person to tear Kareya under certain circumstances. But the Mishnah says, the mitzvah to tear Kareya, but you're not supposed to tear Kareya on Shabbos. Not only you're not supposed to tear Kareya on Shabbos, but a person does tear Kareya on Shabbos, so they're basically B'chal Shabbos, and they basically violated, quite possibly, a malacha d'oraisa. The Gemara discusses the intricacies of that, and the details about malacha d'oraisa, etc. But definitely at one stage of the Gemara, and it could be even the maskanas of Gemara, that a kareya almeso is actually chayev on Shabbos. So it comes to be a malacha and says, stop. It's kareya almeso? Is that a kareya amanas litfor? So it says to be a malacha, you're going to re-sew that rip? Not only are you not planning on resewing that rip, but actually you're not even allowed to resew that rip. There's a whole sugi at the end of my second by Kotan that depending on the kinds of relatives, for parents a little bit different and other relatives a little bit less serious, but there's a basic halacha, at least sometimes, if a person tears kriya, that kriya has to remain that way. The only way, now that's not to resew the garment. So it comes to me, halacha says, the Mishnah and the Gemara have a whole discussion about kareya al-meso, and clearly you're not going to resew that garment. So what's shaykh to speak about being chayim? The answer is because what you did was positive. Now again, you could discuss and talk, you have to learn the whole sukkah and Shabbos to figure out, is that called tikkun, not called tikkun, are you supposed to do it, not supposed to do it. But at the end of the day, even the discussion, even we're opening up that discussion about are you chayev on Shabbos for karev al meso, is a dead giveaway that you don't require abanas litfor mamish. There's no way in the world this person is going to be abanas litfor mamish, because even if he, as a crazy person, wants to do that, he's not going to do it anyway. So nobody up yalocha, nobody real is going to be doing that. So therefore, for the fact that the Gemara has this discussion about Korea Almeso, that's the proof positive that nobody can argue that you need Abanas Litfor Bamish. So if that's the case, okay, you already raised that problem. Shabura, for sure, the long Bihalocha elaborates upon that, Kasha. If that's the case, you have to go back to the drawing board. So what is the Pshat in Rashi? So why, in fact, is Rashi in Maseches Makos veer away from Kareya? Rashi jumps to Machav Patish. He quotes a malacha that we wouldn't have expected, clearly because he felt that this act of ripping the hole for your neck for the tzitzis falls short of Kareya. So if you go down the route of the Ritva in the case of Mishnah, it falls short because it's not Amanas Litfor, but I understand Rashi. But according to Mikvega, the Mishabura, there's seeming very, very strong riots to the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So we're not quite sure why Rashi said what he said, or to a little bit more correct, why Rashi didn't say what he should have said. Why doesn't Rashi stick in the Malachas Kirin? So the Bir Halacha, again, those have a lot of time over Shabbos. So Shabbos, we don't dress, a lot of things going on over Shabbos. We have a lot of time. We can read the tenth of this Maramacha. We'll leave it out. But the Bihalacha, the Mishnura. So he suggests the following Yisod, Imalachas Kareya. Very, very Mechudish Tikh Yisod, Imalachas Kareya, as to why Rashi veered away from Imalachas Kareya. Says the Mishnura, if you think about it, Kareya, if you just focus on the act of Kareya proper, it's always destructive. The act of Kareya itself is a destructive act. Now, it leads to tikkunim down the line. What kind of tikkunim does it lead to? It can lead to the ultimate tikkun of Amanas Litfor. It can sometimes lead to other kinds of tikkunim, not literally Amanas Litfor. Let's say, for example, the person who tears al meso. So that's a destructive ripping. You look at the garment and you see, this is a terrible, terrible thing. If you just focus on the garment itself, what a crazy shulman. He took a scissors, razor blade, to cut through a shulman. Nuts. What a destructive act. Oh, but now you realize the context. But he did Kriya, and Allah says he's required to do that. So he fulfilled the din in of Chazal, he fulfilled the din in Shulchan Aruch of Kriya. So he did something which was positive. So he did something negative, and the negative resulted in positive. Says the Mishabur, that is the Tzura Malachas Kireya. You do something which is just the Fira Osei Nayim, very, very negative. But then you realize, oh, the tailor, middle lady, you realize, oh, the tailor ripped the stitches for a reason because he has to lengthen the pants. Or the person ripped the shirt for a reason, he has to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya. But says the Mishabura, what if you do an act that's all positive? There is no negative connotation whatsoever. It's not a kilkul that's going to result in a tikkun. It is kulo good. It's kulo toy. It's completely good. It's completely positive. It's completely beneficial what you're doing. You happen to be taking a scissor and cutting through fabric, but you're doing it in a way that there's not even a mashu of anything negative to what you're doing. Says Mishmuel, tell you a secret. That's too good to be true. That's not Kareya. I didn't say that's mutter on Shabbos. We'll smack you in another malacha. You know what malacha we call that? It's called Machmapatish. Machmapatish is when you finish off a job. So says Mishmuel, when you take a piece of cloth and you make a hole precisely to the size of your neck, would anybody a millionaire say, oh, Gavalt, you're destroying that piece of fabric? And oh, yeah, by the way, 10 minutes later, oh, by golly, you make yourself a pair of scissors. That's what you do. Oh, measure my neck against, oh, cut it. That's what you're supposed to do. That's a cool tikkun. Says Mishimura, it's too much tikkun. This is like the antithesis of what we think of Hilchos Shabbos. Our mindset of Hilchos Shabbos is the more tikkun, the more chayim. Less tikkun, less chayim. Says Mishimura, Kareya is a bizarre malacha. Because Kareya, the very nature of Kareya is objectively, so to speak, negative, but things are going to happen along the line. Either they're going to happen physically in the tailor shop, he's going to eventually, 10 minutes later, re-sew it. That's one kind of a tikkun down the line. Or tikkun is going to be registered by the Shulchan Aruch. You've been yotzei in the midst of Kriya, check. So a tikkun was accomplished. The tzura blochas of Kareya, says the Mishnah Berurah, is a destructive act that will result in something constructive. Does it have to be Amanas Litzvot? No. Does it have to be literally to show? No. It's the tikkun. But the minute that what you do is kulo tikkun, Kula tigur is ois kareya. That's not considered to be malachus kareya. It's quite a chiddush. You have to like digest this Mishnah Berurah. It's really like the nafach. It's counterintuitive to what we think in terms of malachus. We always learn besach Shabbos thinking what tigur more chayev, less tigur less chayev. It's not always necessarily true. So getting back to our story, we
doesn't matter what stage the baguette is in. Like, in other words, let's say the whole thing is made and you just open up in that, then it's Machmir Padish. But let's say it's like an earlier stage and it's not ready.
Oh, so well, let's say it's not even Machmir Padish. So in theory, the guy may almost be able to slide through the cracks. That means it's not quite Korea and it's not quite Machmir Padish. Yeah, it could be it'll be somewhere in the middle. So the bottom line is the Mishnah Berurah is very is adamant about this. It's long, long, long bi'alocha. And probably the greatest force that's pushing Mishnah Berurah into this corner of saying that you don't really need Amanas Lefort is that Kasha of Korea Mason. That Kasha is seemingly an insurmountable Kasha. Seemingly, like what I'm trying to explain, but it's a very, very, very powerful question. So there is almost a third approach in this sugya. We've been viewing the sugya literally two extremes. We said there's one extreme that says you need amanas for mamish, mamish, mamish. We saw that was also set up by Bochek, amanas, lichtov, mamish, mamish, mamish. And the Ritva and the Ketzavishna says amanas, lichtov, mamish, mamish, mamish. That's one extreme. Then we have the total other end is, who needs amanas lichtov mamish? Who needs amanas lichtov mamish? As long as it's positive and beneficial, that's good enough. So who sided on that team? So that the Rambams was on that team. And the Mishnah Berurah were on that team. Rashi, could be Rashi, depending on what you think about the Rashi, Tosfos, whatever it is. Others were on that team. Could one walk a little bit in the middle? Could one say that this Shaila that we've been talking about for the last 3 days, do you need literally Pshuto, Kim, Mashpo, Amanas, Litfor, Amanas, this, Amanas, that? Do you or do you not? It's actually a Machloikis, not a Machloikis Rishonim, it's actually a Machloikis Atanoim. That it's actually dependent upon the age of Machloikis we spoke about in the past. Machloikis Rubin and Rabbi Shimon about Malacha, Sheina Tzricha, Lugufa. Remember going back a couple of days ago, we gave the model, the Mishnah speaks about a person carries something on Shabbos, but not to use the item. He carries something to remove it, to get rid of it. First, he throws out the garbage on Shabbos. Takes the garbage, bag of garbage, out of his Rishus HaYochid house, into the Rishus Ram street. Takira walks outside, puts it down. Chayev HaPotter. So the Mishnah says, Machlegis Rabbi Rabbi Shim. So Rabbi Yudah says, Yechayev, you did a malachas outside. You went from Rishus HaYochid, did an Akira Rishus HaYochid, you walked outside, did a Hanocha Rishus Ram. You did a Maisa Malacha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not enough just to focus on the Maisa. You have to look what's behind the scenes in terms of your thought process as well. Why are you doing what you're doing? What's your agenda? What's your goal? Your goal is to remove something. That is a fundamentally different agenda than the days of the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the goal, the agenda was to use something, to get something close to you. I carry the crushim because I want to use the crushim. I carry the safer, I want the safer. I carry the apple, I want to eat the apple. I carry out the garbage because I want to get rid of the garbage. That's a radically different kind of a malacha. It's not different in terms of mindset. So if Masa Machshava Tchila, your Machshava, your mindset is very, very different. I didn't say you did was negative. You don't say to the guy, that's such a silly thing that you're doing, carrying the garbage outside. It's not Kliyachayad. He's not carrying the garbage on his head. He's walking out with a bag of garbage in a normal manner, doing something very positive. It smells in the house. He wants to get rid of the garbage. So he has everything going against him. But it's a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Yechayev. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, your Potter doesn't say it's Mutter, but he says, Potter Aval Osur. So comes the Chayei Adam and suggests that maybe this issue we've been talking about for 3 days is Amadas, an absolute Chok Lo Yavo, or not. Maybe at the end of the day, that depends upon what you think about Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. If you hold that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Potter, what that means is, as Tosfos writes in Masechet Shabbos, we zero in on the Mishkan, we focus on the Mishkan, we ask ourselves, why did they do Malacha ABC in the Mishkan? It's not enough to ask what they did in the Mishkan. You have to ask why they did what they did. So it's not enough just to look at the architects and look at the artisans and look at the people who are melting the metal and people who are sewing the clothing. That's not enough just to look at what they were doing. You have to go into their minds, into the psyche, and ask yourself, why were they doing what they're doing? What was the goal? And if the goal doesn't match up to what they did in the Mishkan, that's Malacha Tzrich L'Gufa. Says the Chayei Adam. In the Mishkan, we know how they did Kareya. We know how they did Moichek. We know that the goal was Almanas Litzvot. So if in the days of the Mishkan, Kareya was Almanas Litzvot, Moichek was Almanas Litzvot, Sosu was Almanas Litzvot, maybe Matar Manasik Shor, maybe you maybe know that we were a little up in the air about Tosus a couple of days ago, but at least the Malachas that Chazal single out, the Almanas Malachas, we know that that's why they did the Malacha, for that express purpose of Almanas, Litfor, Lichtov, Livnos. Says the Chayodom, if you fall short in that Almanas, so you're basically falling short in Malacha, means I'm doing the Malacha. It's very, very positive. Shkoyach, he's doing a phenomenally positive, beneficial, constructive Malachas Bashemis. That's wonderful. But at the end of the day, you have a different agenda. It's a radically different agenda than the days of the Mishkan. That, by definition, is a Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. Now, if that's the case, that will depend upon the Machlekes who we do Rabbi Shimon. How are we going to pass out of that Shaila? So this was a major Machlekes in Rishonim. The Rambam against pretty much everybody else. The Rambam's opinion was that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malacha She'etzich Guf is Chayim. Why did the Rambam paskin? Well, very simple. The Gemara says in Erev in the fourth paragraph, Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Malacha Rabbi Yehuda. That's the bottom line. That's why the Klali HaPsach is that we almost always follow Rabbi Yehuda. However, there are exceptions to the Klali HaPsach. If and when the Gemara in any place, any of the Maroim tell us this is one of the exceptions to the rule, then that trumps the rule proper. It is unclear whether the Gemara actually trumped that rule here. One Gemara seems to say that we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda here. Other Gemaras don't necessarily say that way. The Rambam's opinion was there's no Gemara that trumps the rule. Therefore, the rule stands. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda and Malacha Shetzich Guf is Chayav. And all the other Rishonim disagree and say no. If you look carefully at the Gemaras, the Enemies of the Shabbos, you'll see that the later Amoraim on this one, Rabbi Shimon won out, and therefore Potur. So that's a major Machlekes Rishonim. The Rambam against probably all the other, just about all the other Rishonim. If that's the case, says the Chayodom. So our Shaila, is a person going to be Chayav for Korea, for positive purpose, Shalo Amanas Litfor. Bottom line, I'm ripping, it's constructive, not destructive, it's constructive, but Tachlis, it's not Amanas Litfor. We'll be Chayav or not, says the Chayodom. Depends whether you hold a commute or Rabbi Shimon. Depends whether you follow the Ram or the other Rishon. So says the Chayodom, now we can begin to understand a difficult rabbin, the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, that talks about toldos of Korea and Tofer. Things that are not literally the malach in the sense of there's no thread, there's no fabric, there's no garment, but it's ke'en the malach, it's a told of the malach. And the Rambam gives two examples. The Rambam writes, if a person takes two pieces of paper and glues them together, yechayev mishum Tofer. There's no needle, there's no thread. It's the same basic malach. You're taking two items, causing them to be connected to one another physically, that's called Tofer. And I'm a farik ben yours. If you rip those pieces of paper apart, then you're going to be chayav mishum kareya. Again, there's no needle, no thread, no tailors, no suits, no nothing. But it's the same basic idea. Two things were combined together, were joined together. B'chum yachad, you rip them apart, you're going to be chayav. So the Rambam is the one who extended the malach of tofer and kareya out of the realm of needles and thread into the realm of glued papers. Of course, this Rambam becomes critical for us for diapers and band-aids and adhesives, all kind of different shahs that we may have as banazah, maybe subject to this Rambam. Says the Chayodam, is the Rambam even correct la halacha? The Rambam writes that when you rip apart two papers that are stuck together with glue, oh, yechayev mishum kareya. Really? You're going to re-glue them together? That's your goal? The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam just simply writes that mehamefarek niyoros, that a dvukus biyachad is chayav mishum kareya. So says the Chayod, we'll tell you exactly why the Rambam said that. The Rambam said that because the Rambam goes l'shitasim. The Rambam holds, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha she'etzich legufa is chayav. If malacha she'etzich legufa is chayav, then kareya does not have to be amanas for mamish. What does it have to be? It has to be positive. If it's destructive, I'm taking two very good pieces of paper and just ripping it apart just like that for no purpose, then we punt because it's called Makafla Pturin. But if I did it for a constructive, beneficial, positive purpose, the fact that it's not Almanas Ladavek, Almanas Ladfor, that's irrelevant. So says the Chayyadim, I understand the Rambam perfectly well, the Rambam's Lashik Tosli. What I don't understand is the last of the Rambam Kavach, number 9. Comes the Shulchan Aruch with the following statement. Amidavek Niyaros or Oros Bekol Shal Sorbach Yotzibay. If a person takes papers or animal skins and sticks them together, glues them together with like orange or sofrim, the kind of glue that they use, Hareza told us Tofer v'chayav. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting this right out of the Rambam, literally word for word out of the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch says, Yechayav b'shem Tofer. V'chein ha'mefarek niyoros devukim ha'oros devukim v'lonis kavah the kilkul b'lad. As long as you weren't negative and destructive, Hareza told us kareya v'chayav. Yechayav b'derais, it's a told of kareya, right out of the Rambam's words. says the Chayyadam, I don't understand why the Shulchan Aruch quoted this Rambam. The Rambam said it because the Rambam paskins Malacha Sheitzich L'Gufa is Chayyav. But you, the Shulchan Aruch, earlier on at the Shabbos, back at Tzimishin Tezayin, you paskin against the Rambam. You pask like all the other Rishonim. You, Shulchan Aruch, paskin against all the other Rishonim. How could you quote that you're Chayyav, Lo Niskan V'Kilpul Mavad? What you should insist on is Almanas Lidvog, Almanas Adavik, Almanas Lidvog Mamish, according to my whole Shulchan Torah. So says the Chayyadam, my Shulchan Torah is right, Shulchan Aruch is a Pella. Says the Bialocha, no. Shulchan Aruch is right, the Chayyadam is a Pella. Says the Bialocha, it's not true that you don't have to replicate the Mishkan every single point. We've said this many, many times. When we speak about Malacha Shetzik Lagufa, it's a very, very hard call to define. What's called Lagufa, not called Lagufa, says the Bialocha. He thinks that the Emes Lamito is, if you rip something for any whatsoever positive purpose, you're chayev b'deraisi b'shem kareya. This is the Shulchan Aruch speaking. This is not just the Rambam speaking. This is the Halacha speaking. Says the Bialocha. And again, he's adamant against those Rishonim and those Shitas that wanted to insist that only Amnas Litfor. Says the Bialocha. The whole thing is just not correct. So when all the dust settles, the answer to our question in terms of Maseches Gittin, as well as Maseches Shabbos, as well as Maseches Matyos, the Almanas Bialocha, whichever ones they are, three of them for sure, maybe a fourth, maybe a fifth, maybe a sixth, whatever they were earlier on in the Sugya, the Almanas Malachas, how literal, how serious do we take that phrase, Almanas? Three different opinions. So we have those Rishonim will take it with the utmost seriousness, and if it's lacking, so you're going to be Potter. You have the Be'er Halacha, the Reb Kvega leading the charge and saying, no, it's not true. Almanas is not necessary. As long as it's Derech Tikkun, that's enough. Then you have the Chayyadim who's walking that tightrope and saying, is it enough or is it not enough? Do you need Almanas Litfor or not Almanas Litfor? Is that sufficient? Ultimately depends on the Machlokes of Rav Shimon, which would ultimately depend on the Machlokes of and the Rambam and the other Rishonim. But the reality is that if we go down the route of the Chayyadim, then this Shulchan Aruch cannot be correct. So the Shulchan Aruch is almost in a sense trumping the Shulchan Torah that Chayyadim is suggesting. So a whole part of we started out as a Gittin Sugya, very quickly went to Shabbos Sugya, came back to Gittin Sugya, hopefully that's Shabbat after Yantar, so we'll go back to the Sugya in one second. Okay.
It's true that subjective construction is the time of the writer, the commissar.